Welcome to Music Fishbowl.
Hello everyone, welcome to Music Fishbowl, music chatter for all. It's Dan here and I'm back again. Thank you for all the views on the last episode, it was really good. And obviously the previous two episodes with guests have obviously performed exceptionally well as well for the pod. So I'm really, really thankful for that as always. This episode is another brilliant special episode because I've got another guest on. His name is Pat. And his Instagram handle is at Pat's Final Corner. That's at Pat's Final Corner. You can go follow him on there. He's got a great account. He posts about his records. He's gives it a great personal touch. You know, he likes to create discussion about records. He reviews music as well. Go follow him. He'll be very, very, very much appreciative of that. Always support other people in the vinyl community with their projects and their work that they do, because we all love to just post our records and enjoy and show people what we have and talk about it and see what other people have and things like that. It's always, always good. Now, just a little bit of housekeeping. Apologies for the sound quality again today. Obviously, as you know, when I record a guest, I have to use my iPad mic because my actual professional mic doesn't work for some reason with the Spotify host. It's fine. It still sounds okay enough. So, you know, I hope it's all sounding good enough for you anyway. Just as a little heads up, at the time of recording this, I have not listened to the new Beatles song. So at some point I will be talking about it on the podcast, but it might be for a while because we've got a few good things lined up. So it might be for a little while. So if you want to hear my views on it, it's probably going to come out in a reel. If not, it will come out on the podcast at a much later date. Other bits of housekeeping, if you do want to contact the podcast, ask me a question, anything like that that I can answer on the pod, obviously it's musicfishbolt123@gmail.com. That's musicfishbolt123@gmail.com. You can also drop me a DM on Instagram at thisisvinyl.tap. That's at thisisvinyl.tap. Feel free to follow there as well. Thank you to all of you who have subscribed to the podcast too. Obviously appreciate you the just so much, because every time you subscribe, if you select it to download automatically, that download does count as a view as well as you listening. So that's a really, really good way to help the podcast and to keep me going, keep me doing what I'm doing if you do enjoy what I do. So thank you so much for that. Something I keep neglecting to mention, we have a song recommendations playlist with all the songs that I recommend on the podcast from the section of the song recommendations anyway. And it goes back to the first series when I had guests recommend things as well. So it's got all of those songs in there. Go check that out if you want. It's on Spotify. You can find it on my account, which is at thisisvinyl.tap, I believe. Off the top of my head, it might have gone back to my name. I can't remember if I've changed that now. I do apologise. Anyway, you'll find it if you type in song recommendations, and then, you know, you'll find it in there anyway. It'll be somewhere. There's a link also on my link tree on my Instagram account in my bio. So just go to my Instagram account, you'll find it there. Remember, we got the website as well if you did want to check out anything. Anything about the podcast. It's got a little bit about what we do here and about myself as well, so you can read up on that. Some of the episodes are available to listen to. All the ones without music in them are on there, so you can go and listen to those there, as well as on Spotify. So either way, I don't mind how you listen to it. You know, you enjoy my podcast wherever you enjoy it. But yeah, no, let's get on with the podcast. Pat, brilliant episode with Pat. He's such a great talker about music. He's got such a great music mind as well. Real fan of all genres. You know, he's got such a wide taste as well. We had a really great chat. We covered a wide array of topics as well, and he's also got extensive knowledge on some artists that I have a great knowledge on too, but I've never been able to speak to somebody about them on the podcast so much because it hasn't come up in conversation, or I've not spoken to someone who is such a fan. So it's a great episode just for that. But yeah, you'll enjoy it. It's a brilliant conversation. Follow him on at Pat's Final Corner on Instagram. That's at Pat's Final Corner on Instagram. Enjoy. Okay, and welcome back, everyone. Obviously, I've already introduced this guest today for my intro section, but I would like to welcome Pat from at Pat's Vinyl Corner on Instagram. I'd like to welcome him to the podcast. Hello, Pat.
Thank you, man. Thanks, Dan. How you doing today?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. You know, I found out you were doing this podcast thing, and I just decided to want to do more podcasts from you know, from people in the IG community. So, well, the vinyl community, yeah. You know,
well, exactly. This yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. And I mean, obviously, you've got an account on Instagram, and you know, but part of something I wanted to talk about with you today actually is why we set up these accounts for our records, and you know, what do we get out of them? Because I didn't know the vinyl community existed. I set up the account and found the community.
People found me real fast. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So what was the reasoning behind you setting up your account then? Obviously, I can talk about mine as well, but what was yours?
I guess mine just came from the fact that, you know, when I started getting into vinyl, I just wanted an outlet to sew these things off. And, I mean, what better place than Instagram, I guess. So I made my account. And I started posting records and whatnot. And I started building up a following. And over the time, my format has changed. And I started incorporating more album reviews because I started noticing that people would just post the album and not talk about it. And I'm just like, well, what's the point? You know, are you just, you know what I mean? Like, are you just doing this just to, for clout or whatever? Or are you just doing this to be, you know, like, it's like an aesthetic thing. And all that stuff is cool. You know, hey, you know, how you decide to run your page and what you want to get out of it is, it's all, you know, it's all personal. So I'm not going to sit there and really clown anybody for it. But I just didn't want to be one of hundreds of accounts doing that. So I just thought, you know, I want to flex my musical knowledge and really have musical conversations, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I was the same. You know, I always say that if a post doesn't take 15 minutes for me to make, it's not worth posting it. Because it should always have some information about the record. It should always have something interesting, chart positions, you know, who produced it, all sorts of things. You know, I like to chuck that in. And we're both very active as well ourselves in putting our faces on our account as well.
I think that's important.
Like, it feels like it needs to be personal, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it definitely needs to feel like, it needs to feel internal, you know? I mean, we could take an album like, I don't know, Nirvana's Nevermind, right? I mean, everyone has that album, but how many people really actually talk about that album? I know it's so much that could be said about that record at this point, but I mean, that much can be said about this point because everyone, I mean, it's a masterpiece. But either way, you know, at the same time, it's like, well, how does this album make you feel personally? Like, you know, like if you see that album cover, what do you think about? Do you think about the songs? Do you think about, you know, any particular track or just anything? You know, just give me something, you know, like give me some character, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, part of what you do it for is because you enjoy not only being part of the community, I think, but also there's the joy of showing your collection, because as collectors, it's a bit, you know, what's the word? Bit vain maybe, but you do always want to show off your collection. You know, when you get someone around your house, you do kind of just want to show them all the records, really. But
exactly.
They might not be into it, but you do want to.
Yeah.
But then there's also the fact you just love content creation and actually making something that entertains someone just for, even if it's just for a few seconds a day. It does entertain somebody, and there's a nice factor to that, and also, you know, you open up the conversation and do talk to people about things, especially if you don't know anyone in your life that can talk to you in that way about them as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of us collectors are lone souls when it comes to being music fans and the depth of music we like, right?
For sure. Because you're not lying about that at all. That's how it feels, though, that I get. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's always the way. In terms of the records on your account, though, you've got a very varied music taste. Is there any reasons as to why your music taste? Because mine's the same as well. Is there any reasons as to why your taste is so varied?
I guess it's very due to the fact that my dad, you know, he's from Alabama, so he grew up on stuff like Commodores, you know, because the Commodores are from, you know, Lionel Richie and Company, they're from Alabama, so I have Commodores is like a must. I have to know every song basically, and I have all my albums now because of that. As for my mom, though, you know, she grew up in DC, and you know, she listened to, of course, you know, we have the go-go scene here in the DMV area, but we also have she loved rock music, like she loved Queen, that's like her favorite band. So she likes Bon Jovi, of course, because I mean, Bon Jovi's Bon Rock, of course she does.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it kind of just moved on from there, you know, so I kind of got my music taste from combining both of their tastes together. And then, you know, hip hop, you know, I heard hip hop pretty much my entire life, you know. They didn't really dabble into rap as much for obvious reasons, though they're from an older time. But, you know, I was one of the few people in my generation, you know, that I guess that really, really like got like really into it. Because, you know, most people in rap, right, they just played, you know, the popular stuff on the radio or maybe an album someone recommend them, but they don't really dig deep. You know, they don't really go to the 80s or the 90s rap as much. We're starting to see that more so now with 90s hip hop. And thank God, like, I know today is the anniversary of what, Midnight Marauders, 36 Chambers, and Doggy Style, you know, three fantastic rap albums, like staples in their respective genres. So pretty much from there, you know, as I got older, I started getting more into like 90s hip hop, like, you know, around high school. You know, I played Illmatic, I played 36 Chambers, like I just mentioned, I played Ready to Die, and that kind of just shaped my taste. And as for like rock music, like metal music, you know, I've been getting more into that. My mom wasn't really into that type of stuff. Yeah, she liked Queen, and Queen is probably more heavier than people want to give them credit for.
I'd
But
agree. Definitely agree.
but definitely, I still wouldn't put them in that metal bucket, though, you know. But even then, you know, my taste started from there, and then I started getting more Metallica, got more into thrash metal, got more into I played a few death metal albums here or there, and you know, I just been building my taste from there. Jazz, you know, jazz fusion, just being an open book when it comes to music, and just absorbing really any type of genre that's out there.
Exactly. And I think you can, the more of an open book you are, the more you experience, the more you're able to tailor your own tastes as well at the same time. So I think you're more able to shoehorn it and give yourself what you really want to listen to. I found it interesting talking about 90s hip hop there. I found it really interesting because I was sitting there thinking of all my friends who listen to commercial radio. Well, I guess you can call it thing, you call it trap and things like that. Obviously, I don't really listen to that genre so much. I am a very low-key hip hop guy. I like the big names and some of the smaller names every now and again. Somebody comes up like, oh, I really like this person, or I'm really into this artist, for example. But I find it so amazing that so many of them listen to these. So many of my friends listen to the commercial. What's on the radio? Well, not even radio. What's in the playlists now, should I say? And
That too.
then I mentioned like a Tribe Called Quest, and they go, "What's that?" And you're like, well, you don't know who Tribe are, and you listen to this.
Right, exactly. I mean, yeah, Tribe.
Really?
I mean, yeah, like Midnight Marauders, man. Low Rent. I mean, anyone who that listens to this, man, please listen to Low Rent Theory, man. Incredible album, man. Midnight Marauders is great. Even the last album, you know, Thank You for Your Service. You know, we got it from here. Thank You for Your Service. Like a great comeback record. A great last album on top of that as well.
Exactly. And I mean, I was at a house party, and obviously it's going around, the phone is going around, you can queue up things. And I thought, and they said to me, don't put on something you like, put on something that will fit in. And I went, well, I'm still going to put something on that I like.
Exactly. Exactly.
I put on Doomsday by MF Doom.
Oh,
And everyone was
God.
just listening, going, what is this? I'm like, do you not get that this is why the music you listen to exists? Are you not
Exactly. Oh, yep. Hey,
interested
look,
in
if you really want to mess their head
that?
up, you should put on accordion.
I know. I mean, I said to them, I said, if you actually sit down and listen to it as well, you realize it's so much more authentic than what you're currently listening to as
Exactly.
well.
Either that or put on a hoe cakes. That'd be hilarious too.
Exactly. But yeah, no, it's great to meet someone else who also has such a varied music taste. Is there a specific genre that you would say is your genre? Would you say that's hip hop, or would you say is there another genre you'd say is that is like, I would say for me, my genre is country, but at the same time, you know, my favorite artists are Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, The Beatles. So none of my country artists get into my top 10, 20 artists. So what would you say is your genre?
I would say probably between maybe pop music and hip hop, because, well, because Michael Jackson and Prince are my two favorite artists, and those are two
Oh,
artists
really?
that and those are two artists that really dabbled into pop music, obviously. You know, when Prince came out with 1999, that was really him saying, okay, I'm going into the pop genre now. I want to be known as this superstar. And he achieved that, you know, with 1999. But when Purple Rain came out, he found, you know, all that manifestation finally happened. You know, like he really became that dude. And of course, Michael Jackson, you know, he had similar aspirations after Off the Wall. And then when Thriller came out, it was like, oh yeah, this dude's untouchable. He's not like he's the standard. He's the bar now. And those are, you know, those two albums that I really grew up on. Of course, R&B probably would be another one. You know, for obvious reasons. And I guess another like a low key genre, I'm gonna say folk music, man, because I love Joni Mitchell. A lot of people don't really know that.
Oh,
I'm,
yeah.
yeah, I'm a big Joni Mitchell fan, actually.
Yeah, I love Joni Mitchell. I love the whole Laurel Canyon scene, everything
Yes,
about that.
yeah, yeah, that
Anything,
that.
because Yeah, I mean, as a songwriter, anything that is singer-songwriter based, I'm there.
Oh yeah, exactly. And I just love good storytelling. You know, I like artists, like I like when artists are vulnerable and they actually have something to say. It could be something political, that's why I love punk music. It could be something political. It could be something emotional or more vulnerable, like Blue by Joni Mitchell, or even Leonard Cohen's Songs of Love and Hate, you know, those type of albums.
Definitely. It's my one I always go to when I talk about albums where an artist is just letting themselves be vulnerable is Carole King's Tapestry. And
Oh
the reason why
yeah.
is because that is just an album that if you are like I am a man, I will not be able to answer the question, what is womanhood? But my best answer could be listen to that. And I think people would possibly agree that that is an album that sums up what
Oh
it is
yeah.
to be a working mom, a strong independent woman. Like that is the album, you know.
Exactly.
So that would be my best way of saying it because I couldn't put it in words better than that, I
Right.
don't
I was
think.
going. Yeah, I was gonna say another. Have you played the new Anthony and the Johnsons album?
No, I haven't actually. It's on my list. I
Yeah,
haven't got
yeah.
around
You.
to it
Yeah,
yet
I
this
will
year.
say, man. You have to get to that one, man. Because I mean, when I first played that album, I was like, damn, man. I mean, I'm not trans, but just how she was able to certain songs, man. Like that. Hey, that broke my heart, man. I ain't gonna lie. Like it was like, dang, this is heavy. Like it is a tearjerker, you
Yeah,
know.
I know. I mean, it's when an artist hits, when an artist hits in a way where it's not something that it's something that you can't relate to yourself, but they make you relate to it, if that makes sense. That's
Yeah,
the
exactly.
key, isn't it? And I think that's the
Yeah.
key to good pop music as
Oh
well.
yeah, exactly. You know, I think it's all about, you know, being, to me, my favorite artists are the ones who insert themselves into the art. They're not just doing it for aesthetic purposes, or they're not just doing it because the label told them to do it. You know, oh, you want to make money, you want to do this and that. Well, make this type of music and you'll get there. You know, they still insert themselves into it. You know, how I go back to like, you know, go back to Prince with like Purple Rain. Yes, it was a pop album. It was definitely a commercial album, but when you compare that album compared to the other pop albums of its time, it still stands out. You know, this doesn't
Oh,
sound,
yeah.
yeah, it doesn't sound like Thriller. It doesn't sound like the first Madonna album. You know, it's still its own thing. And
Yeah.
I think that's what's really special about it.
That's what's so unique about Prince as well, because I'm a huge Prince fan. I think the guy's incredible. And even the, you know, I know there's controversy about releasing his music post his passing and things, because obviously he's not, these songs that he chose to not release, and they're making albums out of them and things. But at the same time, I think anyone with a level head listens to them and go, although he's not quite hit in the Prince way on this one, and it's not the level we'd expect from him. His level's so high that what isn't good to him is still incredible compared to half the rest of the music industry,
Oh,
right?
exactly.
It's still worth hearing. And have you heard his album with just the piano that they released post
Oh, the
his death?
Michael. Oh, was it microphone, the piano? No,
Yeah, that's
I
the
haven't. And I haven't really played much of these posthumous Prince
Oh,
releases. I mean,
really?
yeah. I mean, I did play a little bit of originals because I was curious on some of the, because some of the songs that he wrote that was on that album, I didn't know he even written some of those songs. Like I did, like Manic Monday. Didn't know that was him. There was a couple of songs, and I was like, "What? Like Prince wrote that?" No,
Well,
this
Manic
is.
Monday is a pseudonym. That's the thing. Like, so many people don't realize. And when you listen to the verse, you can really hear Prince. Once you know, you can hear his
Yeah,
writing,
you
not so
know,
much the
yeah, it's like,
chorus,
cause it
but.
sounds like, yeah, cause it does sound like he wrote that. I would say, if I had to take a guess, that sounds like a Round of On the Day era Prince. Like, it kind of reminds me of like a Raspberry Beret or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's definitely around his most commercial period.
Yeah,
I'd definitely around there.
when he started experimenting with the more like psychedelic sounds and whatnot.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's is it Paisley Park, the name? Is that the name of the album? I know the song Paisley Park's in the album. I love that song,
Round of On the
but
Day. Yeah,
that's it. Around One Day. That's the one. That album is pure pop, but it's got that little bit more. I prefer Purple Rain as an album, I'll
Oh,
be
of
honest,
course,
just because
to me easily, yeah.
overall it just fits. But he's pushing what he can do with pop
Oh yeah, he is.
on that album,
I mean,
right?
the album cover was kind of like a Sgt. Pepper's homage in a way. So it's like you could tell that he's kind of trying to, you know, really experiment and try different sounds of pop music, you know, and it really messed a lot of people up. You know, that album, it took me years for me to finally appreciate it, like as a full body of work. Because when I first played it, I was like, it's okay, you know, I don't really know what's so special about it. And after Prince died, a lot of people were saying, nah, man, Roundabout in the Day is underrated. Y'all need to listen to this one.
Yeah.
And then as time went on and progressed, you know, I mean, I ended up reviewing it. I said, you know, this album is a lot better than I thought it was. You know, like it's pretty dang good.
Yeah, well, that's the sad thing about artists like Prince, and David Bowie's another
Yeah,
example,
another favorite. Yeah, I love Bowie.
yeah, exactly, because they passed away at the time they did. I would say around the time of COVID when that hit, because we'd had the Renaissance albums coming out, as in Leonard Cohen had a huge renaissance, Bowie had a huge renaissance. Prince was starting to have a bit of a renaissance, as in people were starting to realize that the later albums are actually pretty good and there's something going on here. But they kind of passed away and didn't see the full flow, because now we're retrospectively going back the last 20 years. Say, like, Bob Dylan's career is a great example. People are saying Time Out of Mind onwards, some people are saying it's the best part of his career now. And you're going,
You
they missed this. And those are artists where truly that is the case, especially Prince.
Right, especially
Especially Prince.
yeah, because you know, it's funny you name like Bob Dylan, Prince, and Bowie. I think the reason why those albums are starting to get like a critical like reevaluation, you know, critical appraisal or whatnot, is because those were prolific artists, so those albums didn't really get a chance to live when they came out.
Yeah.
It's like let's drop the album. I mean, we're getting another one like 8 months later. Like, you know,
Yeah,
he already had
exactly.
the ideas, and Bowie was like that as well. I mean, this man was dropping like. I mean, I think the Berlin trilogy wasn't Heroes and Low like the same year, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's the same with Bob Dylan's Electric Trilogy. You know, I know it's not, yeah,
Yeah.
I know they're all retrospective trilogies, but that's an album a year. Actually, it's all came out in 2 years.
Yeah,
Those
exactly.
three, yeah,
Yep.
two in 1965, and I think one in 1966. So it's, yeah, it's that's so prolific,
Yeah, it
that,
is,
and
man.
also that's so revered that it's taken time for people to actually really, it's taking time for people to realize that I don't just have to listen to the good stuff. I can try other things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's probably a rise in streaming culture as well, makes it more accessible. I think
Yeah,
that's probably part of it too.
because you for $10 a month, you can pretty much get like millions of songs and thousands of albums. So it's like you know you didn't have to really put your money behind that album in particular anymore, like you did like back in '65 or what, you know, whatever year.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, in terms of talking about putting your money behind albums, though, obviously being record collectors, actually, we should probably talk about record collecting.
Oh boy.
Yeah, a good question. I like to ask anyone who's got who anyone who collects records who comes onto the podcast. What was the first record you ever bought? And I'm talking any format, and then first vinyl, let's say, as well.
Okay, so yeah, I'm gonna answer this a few ways. So I think the first record I bought, was it Phil Collins, Hello, I Might Be Going? Was it that one? I think it was the second one. Yeah, it was one of
It's
those.
the one with the more soul influence, isn't it?
The blue cover.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my favorite one. I mean, I love Face Value. I think Face Value is incredible.
Oh yeah,
But
that's a piece of art.
that's a great album. It's way better than people want to give credit for. I know because it's Phil Collins, people want to sleep on it. I know it's not the old Genesis stuff, but nah, man, Face Value is really good. But the second one's good too. It's not as good. I mean, might be controversial. I might like the album after, well, No Jacket Required, maybe a little bit more than the second one. I really don't know why. I mean, it's not aging the best, but I just like that album, man. It's one of those pop
Yeah.
records. I put it on and enjoy it. You know what I mean? It's just, and that's kind of how it is with that. But the first album I think that's the first record I bought. But the first like albums I bought, but Michael Jackson died, I bought about three of his CDs. Like I think I got Dangerous. I got the special edition of
Yeah.
that. I got Bad special edition. I think I got. Was it Off the Wall? No, it was History. It was History. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And notoriously, well, I'd say anything past, because Dangerous is now, because they've reissued it, become a bit easier to get on vinyl. But anything past that, it's just expensive. If you want to get on vinyl,
Yeah,
anything
yeah,
past
and
that,
and I
like,
yeah, and
well,
I
it's
and I
History and Invincible, isn't
and,
it? Part
yeah,
two, isn't
exactly,
it?
yeah, and I got an original of Dangerous, and that was not cheap. I can tell you that
Oh,
right
yeah.
now.
Oh, definitely. They released a picture disc of that, and it was about 25 quid, and I've really nearly bought it, and then I didn't, and it's like, well, now look at Amazon, it's like 50. Oh, great.
Yeah,
It's like,
I know.
I can try
Yeah.
get it used maybe for cheaper, but I
Oh
don't
yeah, I think you can find it cheap because even the reissues of Invincible have kind of gone up, which I'm actually surprised about. But when I saw it, when I looked at it, I was like, well, look, it only been reissued like one at a time. I know Music on Vinyl did it, and even that's starting to go up. I mean, as big as an MJ fan I am, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Invincible, so I'll get it one day. I do like songs off of it clearly because it's not a bad album. it was just a relatively just like a okay one to me. So
yeah,
you know, but I do plan on getting it one day. As for his story, man, that's a lot of money for a greatest hits album. Especially when I have all those albums already. And then and then for this the history album I do like, but again, there are some songs that just, you know, kind of falls, you know, in terms of quality for me.
Yeah. I mean, I always view Michael Jackson as obviously we'll go off the wall onwards, so let's not go with the solo albums before then. Yes, there's some nice ones in there, but let's not go from there. Let's go off the wall onwards. I always like to compare him to Stanley Kubrick. Oh, sorry, not Kubrick, Kubrick. Sorry, Stanley Kubrick. I'm stumbling on my words. Reason being is that Stanley Kubrick knew to not release films every year. He knew to wait his time, and you might only get two per decade from him. And we kind of got that with Michael Jackson in the same way.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, it allows every work to be critically evaluated and revered.
It's like time. Yeah, it's like every album was its own era, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And we now live in a time where an album era is a thing. Like, that's what the record labels call it now. You know, bands go through that eras now. Michael Jackson was doing that before it was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Very much so. And there's a unique style to every record, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yep.
Him and the music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Being a pop fan, I have got a good question to ask you. And this is a little bit self-indulgent, but something I've been talking about on the podcast for a long time, probably since its inception, you know, last year, is something that I call mature pop. Mature pop being that instead of pop music predominantly trying to be for teeny boppers, like it used to be,
exactly.
It's now very much entering an era. I mean, obviously, it wasn't all for teeny boppers before. I'm not saying that. But it is now entering an era where the predominant pop artists are making music for mature adult audiences. For example, Harry Styles, Taylor Swift is another great example of that.
Weekend.
Weekend's another one. Yeah, I'll chuck him in there, definitely. Even Olivia Rodrigo. Yes, the teeny boppers can go at it. But to be honest, it's the theme she's singing about for someone who's at such a young age is really mature. And like, I don't know, is this something you've noticed as well? Because I look at someone like Harry's House and think, piece of art.
And I like Harry House songs. Yeah, I got all of Harry Styles' albums. I've been in I actually like his album. His album's not like amazing to me, but I think for the type of music he does, I mean, you can do so much worse than Harry Styles. I mean, I'm beyond. But I have noticed that too. I mean, I like the fact that there's a lot of edge and like there's a sense of danger coming back to pop music, man. And, I feel like a lot of pop music have been missing that. You know, it's been kind of toothless for a while. And I think now that Weeknd came out with After Hours and, you know, I mean, even if you go this year, I mean, I don't know if you want to count them as pop, but Depeche Mode made a really good album this year.
Yeah. Oh, I love their album this year. I thought it was so good.
Yeah.
On that front, I'd recommend Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Their new album is really good as well.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know if Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark broke the US. I don't even know if they got there.
I don't think so. I'm gonna definitely check it out after this. But
that famous song was Enola Gay. Was that famous song? But they released a really good album this year, very similar to Depeche Mode. Definitely recommend that.
Yeah, because I have been getting more into the Depeche Mode. I actually picked up Music for the Masses like a few days ago. I never played that album. I played it for the first time. I was like, man, this album's incredible. So it's like, I'm trying to get more into their stuff. And, you know, I like that era of pop music where it was like, it was dark. It was still in that synth pop, you know, lane. But, you know, you had Depeche Mode, New Order, you know, doing that type of stuff. And I think I think now we're starting to kind of somewhat see that comeback. Not in the same exact way, of course, you know, because... No. I wouldn't call those bands commercial. I think they were accessible, but I wouldn't really call them commercial either.
Yeah.
But
they had commercial hits, but they weren't accessible. Most people would know the one or two songs, but they wouldn't pick up their album.
Yeah, because their albums, because especially the Depeche Mode albums got real dark at one point. I was like, maybe a couple songs, maybe snuck on the radio, but I couldn't see like Violator and these other albums like being like a thriller, like, you know, like on top, you know. That'd be so crazy. I'm like, I would probably ask what's going on with the world if that was the
case. Exactly. Yeah,
I love that album, but nah, man.
I think what's important to remember about pop music now as well is that pop music is coined pop because it's popular, as in the most popular music, But as a genre,
Exactly.
it's not the most popular right now. We have to remember that as well. It's
Yep, you're right.
huge, but it's not the most popular. If you were to go into any nightclub or any, well, put on the radio stations that play chart hits, they are not playing much pop, apart from your big artists like your Taylor Swift, maybe your Ed Sheeran, maybe
Yeah,
your
you might hear Beyonce here and there. Like, you might hear,
Beyonce here and there.
yeah.
Exactly. And then you can make the argument that Beyonce's in the R&B world as well. You can also make that too.
Yeah, but
So
yeah, cause I would, yeah, cause I wouldn't classify Renaissance as a pop album. So I mean, I
yeah.
wouldn't, yeah. I think she's made pop albums, but I wouldn't say Renaissance is one
Yeah.
necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. I would say the same as you there. It's but yeah, it's not the predominant, genre anymore. So I think it's really important to, I think that's probably one of the reasons actually why it's going back that way, because it's now
Yeah,
meaning something to
but I'm up.
less people. It's meaning a lot to less people,
Exactly, but I was going to ask you, like, how do you feel about these pop artists now kind of incorporating like the older sounds? Like, you're starting to hear a lot of disco influence again, starting to hear some funk influence from the production. Like, why do you think artists or songwriters or producers or I guess musicians are starting to go back to back in the day and repackage this stuff now?
Yeah, I think there's so many reasons for it. I think the main reason is that we had such a cultural boom, not just in music. I'm talking a pop cultural boom from 1962 when the Beatles first album. I mean, you could argue going back to the 50s, but the 50s still hadn't fully got there. 1962 up till about, I would say up until about, I would even say up to about 1990. I would even say yes, the 90s especially in the UK, the 90s have become a real sort of cultural moment, because there's a lot of sort of quite cheesy things about the 90s that people are loving at the moment here. I don't know about the US, but I would say that cultural moment was there, and so many people missed out on that. That is now, and now we're at a point where people who live through it are looking back and reflecting on their lives because they're getting older. So we're moving into this nostalgia period where people who wish they were there are getting nostalgic for time periods they weren't there, which then leads to the rise of genres like synthwave and things like that. And then you've also got these older people who are going back as well. And I think that's why. And there's also the point of, there's only so much you can do that actually eventually you have to go back and reinvent the wheel instead of inventing the wheel. You
No,
have to
you're right.
reinvent it as well after. So I think there is that. It's an interesting question, that actually.
Yeah, because I've just been noticing that, I mean, and then I remember there was a quote that Prince was talking about sampling music. What do you say? At some point, we're gonna get the point. It's gonna get the point where we're just sampling samples. Now, like, yeah, I think we got to that point, man. Because there's a few rap songs that are literally just sampling other rap songs that sampled another song. You know, but like, this is getting
Totally.
insane.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And that's, I mean, to be fair, I have no issue with that, and I never have done. You do what you can creatively, it's fine.
I think. I mean, I don't have an issue with it on in theory. I guess it's how you do it. It's kind of what, like, yeah, because like, because I guess my issue with it would be, okay, you take this song, right, that was sampled from another song. Okay, if you're gonna sample that song, that was already a sample. I mean, are you gonna do anything different to it, or are you just gonna loop it, add some trap patterns to it, and call it a day? It's like. It gets to a point where it's kind of like, okay, well, I don't really like this song because of you. I like this song because I like this song already,
Yeah,
you know. And
exactly. I don't think that's the thing, because that brings in the TikTok ability of a song as well, because we're looking for something that is a quick soundbite that people know and gravitate to.
Oh yeah.
Which I think is another. I mean, we all know that record companies are genuinely making artists make songs for TikTok now,
Oh
and
yeah.
like there's albums of
Yep.
songs which are like literally less than 2 minutes long, some of them, because they're trying to get something on TikTok. And
Exactly.
I think it's a bit embarrassing at times as an artist, in my opinion, because like as an artist, you should want to create the art you want to create and not be told what to do. And I know they're being told what to do because I believe in the power of musicianship and the power of songwriting, but oh
Exactly.
my
Yeah. I
word.
mean, it's like labels now were just like, hey, man, if you acquired the rights to this Harvey Note song, you're gonna go ahead and sing over it, or you're gonna rap over it. It's like, what? Like,
Exactly. Although I
it's
will
like, it's
say,
ridiculous.
in some ways, I think there is still, in certain genres, there's still new creations happening
Oh yeah.
with genre bending as well.
I agree.
I think, and the example I always think of is country music, and I look at some country artists now using trap beats in their music, and I think sometimes it's a bit on the nose, and I know traditional country fans don't like it so much. And yes, it's not my favorite thing, but I do appreciate it because I'm trying something new. And I think people forget that actually experimentation should be.
Oh yeah, you know what? It's one of those things where it's like I don't like it. It's not my thing, but I'm not gonna say it shouldn't exist. You know,
yeah.
And that's kind of always been my thing. You know, because I've been getting more into country music myself.
Hmm.
Like, you know, I've been enjoying. I love Chris Stapleton. He's one of those I've been enjoying. Yeah.
His voice.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, his voice is incredible. Yeah, he has a great voice. Yeah. I like his music. I like Zach Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, his album from this year was actually really good. And I'm looking forward to a new Chris Stapleton album that comes out, this month, I think, about a couple weeks.
Yeah, it is this month. And the thing is, it's interesting, the artists you picked out there, the two artists you picked out, you know, in Chris Stapleton and Zach Bryan, is that Chris Stapleton, I mean, he's been around for a bit longer, but Zach Bryan very much is from the indie country revolution that's happening right now, where people are tired of these trap sounds and things like that, and this pop country sound.
Yeah,
these
songs are
coming through, you know?
Exactly, because country was a genre that had substance when it came out, you know? So I can go back, you know, even take a Johnny Cash or a Merle Haggard or somebody, you know, like the legends, you know, even Dolly Parton, you know, like, those artists had substance. They had, like, they were actually talking about something or something, you know, you felt something when you played those songs. Mm-hmm. So I can completely understand how country fans feel when they hear crap like Body Like a Back Road or whatever, Florida Georgia Line coming out with and just putting their head down in disgust. Like, I completely get it because I'm asking the same thing.
Like, well, I also think for me, like, a great example is Caleb Lee Hutchinson. I think that's his name on top of my head. I listened to his album the other day, his new one.
Okay.
And it blew me away. It's probably my surprise of the year. But the first opening two tracks, disco inspired. So we also remember as well, even the indie world, the difference is taken from more organic genres from the past rather than taken from what's popular now. And I think people gravitate more, again, because of the nostalgia thing and everything, you know. I think people gravitating more and letting it slide more. But they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, they are.
Chris Stapleton's done it for a long time with easier. His music originally didn't have beats that he could dance to easily, and then suddenly he starts putting them in. Now I get what's happening. You know, you can see it. It happens.
Exactly.
He's experimenting, and I don't blame him for that. And I've enjoyed those songs. So
yeah, because starting over had some R&B influences on a couple songs. Oh, yeah. I was like, this sounds really soulful.
Yeah, you should probably leave.
Yeah,
basically an R&B song.
Exactly, that song. And man, Code is incredible, man. He killed that.
Yeah, and then you get the more traditional songs like Nashville, Tennessee, which is more traditional Chris Stapleton number. Right?
And I like Hillbilly Blues too. I love the beginning part of that song.
Yeah, well, that's another genre for another day. That blues. Oh dear, I'm really into my blues music. as a classic rock guy, the blues is my natural extension there as well.
I need to get more into blues myself, honestly.
Oh yeah, the British blues scene, the quality of it is incredible. But obviously the big artists are all from the US and they come over every now and again. We see them every now and again. And you know, there's some really good ones to get into. Really easy.
I do want to find some BB King one day.
BB King. I've got a couple of his records now. But BB King in general, just put him on. He makes that guitar sing, not, you know.
Oh yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Singing. It's not. The guitar solo is like an extension of the vocal, you know, carries on and rolls through, and that's what he's
exactly
doing.
Exactly.
So let's go back to the collection then. How many records have you got in your collection now?
I would say off the top of my head, I'm probably like I'm almost like at 970, I think.
That's good.
Yeah. I would probably say I'm close to 1,000. Definitely the time you get a new self, because one of my cells, a little bit of damage going on with it, so looking at it now, I'm gonna have to get another one, and I want to get the IKEA ones because I kind of wanted black cells because I mean this brown, this I got it from Target. The brown is cool, but Target cells are cheap, and if you don't really install them right, you're gonna see the damage that they present later on.
Yeah, I mean we've got a shop called Homebase, which is a hardware store. I wouldn't say similar to Target or I don't know what the equivalent would be. You know, we I don't know if you have we have Homebase and Wix's, which is not they're not in the US at all. We have Screwfix. I don't know if that's in the US, but
Oh,
we have
yeah.
it's that kind of thing. You know, they sell effectively DIY stuff, do it yourself stuff. You know, it's not it's all just building things. But they do sell some
Exactly.
furniture as well, and they've got some really good ones. For anyone in the UK is listening, I would recommend them,
Oh, yeah,
Torch
that's dope.
Records.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very solid, very good. But that's the problem with collecting records, isn't it? Space. Oh.
Yeah, that's the main. It's space, and it's also just trying to find quality furniture to house these things. Because if you go cheap, I mean, you understand records are heavy, so going cheap sometimes is not always the best option.
No,
Especially if
no.
you're an audiophile and got these, like, I don't know, these MoFi box sets and these 580-gram press records. It's like it's not a good idea. You're definitely gonna need something sturdy. It's something that's going to last a long time. And if you move, maybe you still live in your parents' house, or you may have like a small apartment or something like that. Something I would still say that's mobile would definitely be a good idea as well.
Yeah, well
You're quiet.
that's a problem I think of, you know, because I'm going to eventually be moving at some point in my life. I will leave the place I'm currently in, and I'm just
Exactly.
sitting
Yep,
there
me
thinking,
too.
how am I going to get those records? They're heavy. How am I going to get them to and from? What if I move hours away? How am I going to do this? I need a van just for them. Like, and then also
Right.
storing them so they don't break when they're on transit and things like that. It's like, oh God, there's so much money invested in it, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh man. I mean, I just bought a record today. So I was like, trust me, I get it.
Yeah, I mean,
I
what's
definitely.
I mean in terms of like do you collect on a budget or anything? Because I'm a budget collector. I do try and be as cheap as I will buy the worst condition vinyl and clean it up and make it really nice as best I can. What do you do?
I think it depends on the out how much I enjoy that album and what press I'm looking for. I wouldn't say I'm not particularly, like, I guess bougie with my records, but I am. Well, I'm not. I would say I'm not really cheap either. I mean, if it's a good quality, like, first press album that costs like $80, if I like the band or the artist or that album that much, I would do it. Like, just recently, I got Iron Maiden Somewhere in Time. I paid $60 for it. The seller wanted 65, but I just offered him 60, and it was an original press of it, because I love Iron Maiden, and I ended up getting it. So, and it sounded great. It was in great shape. It was worth the money to me. And I think that's really all that matters. I think nowadays you get really caught up on how much we pay for something. But the way I see it is, hey, do you like the album? Do you enjoy it? Are you going to play it? Is it in the condition that you find acceptable? Then that's all that matters. Hey, it's. You're gonna throw money away doing this vinyl thing. That's the whole point. That's just how it's gonna be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally agree with that. So let's finish off then with two questions
Okay.
for yourself. Quick fire questions. Favorite artist, favorite song, favorite
Oh boy. Okay.
album.
Whew, man,
Free
that's
questions. So
hard.
it's free, not to. It's free.
Oh man. Okay. Favorite artist? Okay, I'm gonna say Michael Jackson. Favorite song? Dang, that's hard. You know what? I'm. You know what? This part is gonna change. Probably, it's probably gonna change. But I'm gonna pick. Man, I'm gonna pick "Lady in My Life." I'm gonna pick the "Lady in My Life."
Oh wow.
Yeah, and favorite album is Thriller. I'm definitely picking
Thriller.
Thriller for favorite album.
You know what? I always say the best pop album is between two albums. It's either Thriller or Hard Day's Night by the Beatles. And my thing is always Thriller, I have to
Yeah.
say. Always Thriller is my inkling. Because
Oh
I always
yeah.
go, you know what? There's something that album's got that Hard Day's Night hasn't. You know, there's just
Yeah,
something
and
it's
that's a
got.
really and that's a really good early Beatles album as well.
Yeah, and it's
Yeah.
all their own songs, all originals. It's that Hard Day's Night, don't get me started, but it's
Yeah.
so good.
Yep.
Anyway, Pat, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been really great
Great.
having you.
Yeah, no problem, Dan. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
I
man,
appreciate you having me.
you're a great guest, so you're always welcome back. You know, anytime you ask, we'll get it sorted.
Oh, for
Go
sure.
follow Touches. Go follow Pat at Pat's Vinyl Corner. That's at Pat's Vinyl Corner on Instagram. He's got great content. He does all sorts on there. So go check him out and see what he does. But for now, we're gonna say peace and I'll see you next week with whatever wonders I have on the podcast. But I'll see you soon, Pat.
All right, man. Same to you.
See you soon.